Your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You could preach the whole chapter on this one. It's knowing where to start, stop, and what to do. We'll just look at verse 8 for a moment. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. In other words, God, through the Word of God and through Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, He's actually showing us His love. He wants you to know that love. He wants you to feel that love. Because in that love, there's freedom. In that love, there's healing. In that love, there's power. In that love, there is a presence of the living God. And in that love, God wants to connect with you as an individual. You are not a number. You are an individual person. You are special to God. Amen. Doesn't that make you want to rejoice? Oh, hallelujah. Special to God. He loves me. His eyes always looking out for me. He's always wanting to do the best and give me the best. I don't know if we've told the church on Sunday, but stand up a minute. See this good-looking young man. He's been coming into church occasionally when his job allows him to. And so we've been praying that God would give him a different job, that would give him time to be able to come to church. And a couple of weeks ago, is that right?
Yeah.
He came and told us that he'd got another job. He'd been praying and our prayers had been answered. He'd got another job that would allow him to get to church more. Fantastic. Praise God. That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah? But even better than that, the company that he was working for is a company called Carillion, who has been in the news for the last 2 weeks. And the company, in all its billions and billions of pounds of turnover, has just gone, it's gone bust. And Michael here would have been out of a job. No job. When you pray, God knows what time it is. God knows what it's all about. And God has already gone before you. And when you ask, God will give to you a blessing, not a curse. My God, my Jesus, is a Jesus who gives blessings, not curses. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, thanks. And what a testimony. You know, as you pray, God answers, and He's better off. Have you got better money as well?
Not better money for now.
No,
eventually.
But eventually. There you go. But He's got the security. This is our God at work. I remember some years ago, I went for a job. I just decided that I got fed up where I was working. And God didn't tell me to leave the job I was in, but I went into a bit of rebellion. You know what rebellion is when you just say, I'm going to go my own way, or I'm going to do it my way. So I had to go doing it my way. And I went for this job interview. When I got there, I had my interview, and the guy says to me, you've got the job. I thought, great. Because this meant I could travel. It meant I would travel part of the world. It also meant that I wouldn't be at church as much. But, well, that's how it goes, you know. But I wanted to change. That was my idea. I didn't ask God. But he had an idea different to mine. And it turned out that within a couple of weeks, I hadn't heard anything. I didn't get the letter to say, you've got the job. I didn't get a phone call. So I rang up and said, you know, where's my letter, you know, about the job? When do I start? And they said, oh, you didn't get the job. I'm like, what? But he told me that job was mine. Well, a few weeks later, a friend of mine called me and said, oh, have you heard about this company? They've just gone bust financially. They've sunk. That was the very company I was going to try and work for. I would have been without a job. And God said, no, 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 no. He locked and bolted the door. And he kept me where I needed to be, because the time to leave was not ready. Later that came. So our God is a good God. Our God is a God who cares for us and he understands us. He's a loving God. He's demonstrated his love towards us through Christ dying on a cross. And yet, you see, the Bible says that in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were God's enemies. Yeah? You understand that? The Bible says we were God's enemies. We hated God. We didn't want anything to do with God. And yet he sends his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for his enemies. For all of humanity, he sends Jesus. Just so that our lives will be saved and we will be restored back to God the Father. Our relationship, a family relationship with God our Father, restored. Wow. And this is the beginning of the work of the cross. And it goes on from there. And you know, some people say, I don't understand this. How can just one man redeem us back to himself? Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, For if by the sins of one man, Adam, all of humanity, all the peoples of the world are condemned to an eternal death without the love of God. A place of torment. A place of pain. Through the sins of Adam. And yet, it goes on to say, and much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. So for me and for you, as we have asked Jesus into our hearts and lives, we find that the abundance of the grace and the mercy and the love of God has come into our lives. It's come in so that you and I can approach the Almighty God. It's been Jesus died so that you and I could walk into the very presence of God the Father and spend time with Him. Knowing that He loves us and that He cares for us. Knowing that He intends our good and that He has a purpose for us in life. You see, when Adam was created, the Bible says Adam was made in the image of God. Is that right? It says he was made in the image of God. What does that mean? What does it mean? I'm going to give you some thoughts. Does it mean he got the mind of God? Does it mean he was as smart as God? Does it mean he was as clever and as loving as God? Does it mean he was powerful like God? No answer. What do you think? What do you think? I'm going to say this to you. Adam was like God. Adam named all the animals. He named all the plant life. He had such a wisdom and such a knowledge. He had the mind of God. You see, in the New Testament it says we should have the mind of Christ. Yeah. Whose mind is Christ? Jesus said, the Father and Jesus, He says, the Father and I are one. He can't separate us. We're one. He had the Father's mind. He said, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I see what the Father's doing. Jesus had the mind of God. Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. He's like the first Adam. And Adam 1 in the beginning in Genesis had the mind of the Father, had the abilities of the Father, because God had imparted those abilities into that spiritual man. You see, we're talking about a man, Adam, who was absolutely perfect. There was no sin in him. You see, you and I, when we think about humanity, when we think about man, and if, for instance, I say about Michael, well, Michael is perfect. His mum and dad would probably stand up and say, excuse me, I just need to correct that. But to God the Father, because He has accepted Christ, to God the Father, He is now perfect. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be. So God is looking at the end of time. God is looking at our journey as we walk with Jesus step by step. We are journeying towards perfection in our own lives. But in the mind of God, you are already perfected. You're perfect. Wow. You might say, well, you don't see my name, but they're not, you know. But as far as God's concerned, you're perfect. And the goal is to bring you to the place of perfection. The goal is that, like the Adam of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, who, when he was in the garden, was a powerful being, because he was made in the image of God. He was perfect, he was good. Everything of the attributes, everything that God was, so was Adam. Surely that can't be. Listen, when God looked at creation, he said, it is good. In fact, he went on to say, it is very good. He was impressed with his own creation. Now, that perfect spiritual being, God, needs, you know, something has to be really good to impress him, surely. You know? But he looks at his creation and he looks at his man, Adam, and said, that's my man. That's my man. That's my son. I created him to rule and to reign. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ has been born again to rule and to reign. Don't get too excited about it. I'm excited about it. To rule and to reign. To take authority over sickness. To take authority over diseases. To stand against the enemy. To stand against the devil, who has no authority. You and I are created in that image. You and I are birthed for that. You and I have the authority for that. God calls us, you know, and is calling us into that very presence, into the very makeup of himself, to be like him. As we've been praying for people today, we've been praying because God, we believe God wants to heal people. He wants to bring them back to being perfect. He wants to touch their lives so that in touching their lives, they know they have had a personal experience of God the Father. It's about God showing himself that he still loves you. It's about God showing himself that he's still all powerful. It's about God showing himself that everything that has a name will bow its knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness and disease will bow its knee to Jesus. And it's time that the church embraced again the truths and the things of God. It's time that the church took on that it really believed in an almighty God. That it really believed in a Saviour who has died for us, who has set us free, has renewed us and brought us to the very presence of God, and has given us a commission to go out into all the world, heal the sick, raise the dead, to change the areas that we live in, to declare the Word of God, to minister in the power of the Spirit of a living God. And don't let the devil bring you down. Don't listen to false teaching. Don't let people stop you from doing what God is calling us to do. When we look at the Word of God, when we analyze our lives against the Word of God, every one of us falls short. Yeah? Well, it's good to recognize that. Because in recognizing that we fall short, surely that says, come on. I've got to press on a bit further. I've got to go press on that extra mile, because I want to finish the race. I want to hear the words, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Father in heaven. And it's through our obedience in Christ. It's through the fact that we realize that Jesus did it all for you and for me. There's nothing that you and I can do to make us perfect. The only thing we do is to begin to make sure that we feed on the Word of God, Jesus. The thing that we do is that we begin to know the Father, know our Lord. And in listening to His voice, we know His direction. You know, Adam, every day, listened to the voice of God. And he was perfect. He was sinless. He was spotless. And every day, God came at the cool of the evening and said, Adam, let's have a chat. Let's talk about some things. What are we going to do next? What victories are we going to see? What are we going to create in the future? And God is still saying the same thing. You see, in Hebrews it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If Jesus doesn't change, guess what? God does not change either. God's not going to change. We have to change. Our relationship in God has to change. And as we allow that to begin to happen, as we draw close to God and we begin to reflect the presence, the power, and the glory of God, things around us will change. Focus on you and God. Focus on you and your relationship with God. Run the race. Encourage others around you to run the race with you. You can't run it for them, but you can encourage them. You can show them how to. You can show them the way. But run your race. Don't let others stop you becoming what God is calling you to be anointed, to be filled with the Spirit, to flow in the power of the Spirit, to be in the presence of God, to let the presence of God just emanate out of your life, to be the light of the world. You see, the world is in total darkness today. You see, the world with its homosexuality and the church is embracing, oh, it's okay to be a homosexual. No, it's not. God didn't make us like that. If we were all to be homosexual, then guess what? The world, the population would die out. Would it not? There'd be nobody left. So how can it be right to be a lesbian? How can it be right? It can't. And yet our nations write laws and say it's okay. Excuse me? Who put them in charge? Huh? God's in charge. God is in charge. God made all things. But you see, rebellion came in. And we have rebelled against God. And when we rebel against God, sin comes in and sin brings death. Sin breaks our relationship with God the Father. Even Adam, when he was so perfect, when he sinned, it broke that relationship between God and Adam. When Jesus came to restore that relationship. so that you and I can spend time in God's presence. You and I can be in the presence of God. And that when we gather together, God is in you. God is in Praneel. God is in you. God is in each and every one of us. And that presence of God, when we come together, begins to flow. And we see healings. We hear from the God Himself speaking to us. And the very presence of God working in our lives. As God came down in the garden every day to speak to Adam, God wants to speak to you every day. Do you believe that? Do you believe God wants you to hear His voice? Do you believe it? Because I don't think that many of the church people do. They just say, oh, I go to church, you know. Amen, thank you. I know translation makes it. That's fine. God wants you to hear the voice. You know, there's nothing more lovely than hearing the voice of your parents. Yeah. Even when it might be, Michael, you know. That voice that, I've just stepped over the line. I've just gone too far. And that voice of, Michael. He's like, yeah. And you step back. But also there's that voice that says, Michael, grace. That voice of love and compassion that says, come here. Come here. I want to give you a hug. I want you to feel my presence. And I want you to give my presence away to others. Touching lives. Healing the brokenhearted. Setting the captives free. Bringing deliverance. Yeah. The word tells us that as Jesus is, so shall we be in this world. You should look like Jesus. You should look like Jesus. You should act like Jesus. You should have that anointing of Jesus on you. And that when somebody comes and says, I don't feel very well, I'm sick, you just say, oh, that's okay. Come on, we're going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name. And we're going to pray. And we are going to believe. We have an expectancy that when we pray, our Heavenly Father hears our prayer. And that flowing through you and I is that life of Christ, that same life that was in Adam in the garden, that same life of power and anointing of God flowing through us. You see, when Adam sinned, he lost that presence. He lost his anointing. And do you know something? All through history, man is looking for that power. Adam was totally in control. He had all power and all authority. How do I know that? Because when Jesus came back, he says to his disciples, I give you all power and all authority in my name. Well, guess what? When God and Adam were talking, God had spoken to Adam and said, I give you all power, Adam, in my name, the Almighty God. There's no difference. It's a parallel. All that God is doing is re-establishing the first in to be the last. And so what we see with the last, it gives us a revelation of God's first. Adam, I give you the authority. I give you the power. And then this slithery snake slips into the garden, slides under the fence or whatever it is, finds a hole somewhere in their life. and begins to deceive them, brings doubt about this God and about His power. And they listen to the lies and suddenly find themselves cast out of the garden. The relationship with Almighty God is gone. Gone. The power to fix things, for the want of a better word, is gone. Suddenly now he's living in a world where there's weeds and thistles and thorns, and it's like he never used to be like this. What happened? And a voice must have whispered in his ear and said, "You lost your power to control things. You lost your ability to rule and reign. You gave it away to a snake." He had the power. And you see, in humanity, if we look back through history, you will see men and nations constantly seeking power. Power to control, power to fix things, power to rule, power to dominate. And as they seek all these things, you see, they're looking for something that they lost. You know, we can go through the world wars that our nations have seen. One man. Nations wanting to rule and to reign over everybody else. But to rule with a corrupted nature, with a twisted nature, to rule over mankind. They don't want to rule over us in love. They want to rule over us in power and control us. So that they can tell us what we must and must not do. So they can punish us. And yet God says, "I love you. I sent Jesus, my Son, to take your and my punishment on that cross. I'm not here to punish. I'm here to restore, to give you the power, to give you the authority that I gave to that first man, Adam. And it's for you." And the church today needs to pick up that responsibility. The church today needs to stop dancing around and start to do something. The church today needs to stand on the promises of God and see Jesus moving in power. That's what we need to do. As we see Jesus moving in power, we see the presence of God beginning to move through the church. God wants His church back. God wants His people. God loves His people. And He gave Jesus to show you how much He loves us. And in doing so, He wants to restore back everything so that you and I can stand and be in the presence of God Almighty. And all you and I have got to do is say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And begin to follow. Begin to have a great desire to follow Him. Sometimes when we hear the voice of the world shouting at us too much, we need to turn to listen to the voice of God. We need to pick up our Bibles and hear the voice of God. And as we listen to His voice, we'll know His power. We'll know His presence. In Romans 5 and verse 21, it says this, that as sin reigned in death, even so God's grace might reign through righteousness to bring us into eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. To restore back to us the authority. To restore back to the church the power to rule and reign. And you know, it is not for just ministers. It is for everybody. That you can lay hands on the sick, you can preach the gospel, you can share the love of Jesus. Preaching is not standing here. Preaching is when you go and stand with your friends and talk to them about Jesus. That's real preaching. Preaching's living your life. We're here to teach and to encourage. That you'll go out and live that life. You'll be that example to others. And you tell them, look, guess what God did for me? Why did He do it for you? I'm special. Are you special? Are you special? As far as God's concerned, He says you're special. You're a precious people. You're made in the image of God, and you are special. God loves you. And it's through Christ Jesus that all these things, that we can be that in that relationship with God the Father, it can all be restored back to us. And then we begin to release that glorious anointing, that precious anointing of God, working in the lives of men and women outside. They need to hear Jesus. Your friends, my friends, need to hear about Jesus. My friends and your friends need to see the power of God that will flow through your life and my life. And as that happens, they'll want to know more about this Jesus. Who is this Jesus that you worship? Today, the world uses the name of Jesus as a curse word. But when you tell them He's the Son of God, they laugh at you, they mock. Deep down, the world is looking for that, for the supernatural, as they might term it. They're looking and they go to the occult, they go to witch doctors, they go to seances, they go to all these other things, and they're looking. They're looking for a different power. You see, inside of man, there's that void that was taken away from him, that void of that presence and that power of an almighty God. It's gone. And they're trying to fill it. Alcohol, drugs, sex, money, property. They're trying to fill it with all these things. And none of these things last forever. None of these things last forever. The only one thing that lasts forever is Christ in me, my hope of glory. The Christ, the living God, living in each and every one of us. So today, let me encourage you. Begin to seek more, begin to believe more that God wants to use you, God wants to fill you, God wants to flow through you. God has created you. You've become born again. He's created you that you might be filled with the very presence of the living God. Jesus said, I give you the authority. The authority that Adam lost. I give you the keys. The keys that the devil took off Adam to rule and to reign. I give them back to you. Gave you them keys, didn't you, Pastor? Here we are. We got the keys. I've got keys, look. Yeah, I've got some keys. Now look, this opens doors. Quite amazing, this key. Quite an interesting key. Who's got keys? You got keys? Yeah? Okay. Your one key. Yeah? How many doors will it open? How many doors? One. Okay, one. That's good. I'm glad about that. You'll be glad about that, won't you? This key is a very special key. Isn't that right, Dylan? This key will open every door in the church. Wow. Huh? This opens every door in the church. It's a special, powerful key. It opens every door. Wow. You know, when Jesus said, I give you the keys, he gave you a key that will open every door into the presence of God to do the work of the kingdom. He's given you a special key. Yeah? It's not a bad example, that one, is it? You know, because most of them have got one key and it just opens one door. This is the key that opens every door in the church. And God is saying to the church, I've given you a key. I've given you a key. And you've got it on your chain. And you're doing nothing with it. It's just that I've got my keys, look. You're doing nothing with it. Begin to use the key to unlock the things of the kingdom of God so that lives can be changed and the power of God can be released in this earth for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Bless everybody today. Begin to press in. Remember, God has created you to be like Adam, to be like Jesus, to be like God. Amen? Just look at the person next to you and say, you're just like Jesus. You are just perennial. You are just like Jesus. Amen? Say that to Michael. Michael, you're just like Jesus. Tell him. Go on. Tell him. Amen? Praise God. Now go. Now believe that. Yeah. Believe that. And go and do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.